part of my Christian discipleship was to read the Bible every day and pray every day and to try to have some kind of self-improvement every day. The Nazarenes came out of the Methodists, and the Methodists get their name because they have a method. And it's this, and it's kind of an important thing. It's the same principle that they use in recovery. And it's having an organized, systematic, accountable way of having spiritual improvement. And when you start doing that, your life starts looking different, because instead of having the negative things and the things that are what I would have called then sinful, and I would call now not helpful, instead focus on being a better person, looking out for other people, trying to make things better. And that's a really neat perspective to bring into life. And so some of the things we did was like Bible quizzing, where you'd start to learn to memorize scripture, you know, so you'd be reading it every day and there's big stories that you learn, but you're also digging the language and digging into what his sentences mean and how do they apply to life. And so when I did Bible quizzing, it was great because, you know, it gave me a chance to shine, even though I was socially awkward, because I was really good at it and I got to know my Bible stuff. And after I read the Bible, I went back and read interesting parts. And I probably read the New Testament a few times by the time I'm like maybe 16, a junior in high school. And I was really into this. I'd really come to see that my favorite part of the whole Bible was the stuff that Jesus said in the red letter edition of the Bible. And I was trying on other, I had this Bible as literature class that was really great in public school, and where I learned to look at the Bible as a literary device and see it from a different perspective. And then I had this idea that I mentioned that, you work out your own salvation. And so what it meant was important to me. And I was reading, one of my favorite parts is the Beatitudes, where Jesus is kind of preaching, and it gets kind of the core of his message. And he said that you should pray for those who love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I read that and I knew it by heart because I had Bible quizzed Matthew. And it just hit me like a thunderclap that war was wrong when I thought about what it meant. And I had, been politically, my parents just went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and my parents were proud to be the only people in Samaria Township who voted for George Wallace. They had this kind of apolitical kind of independence and mostly, not liking anybody. And but not being that into politics, read the paper. But my church was like a center of right-wing activism. Both like the Jack Kemp campaign was organized out of my church because the evangelicals had gotten really political with Reagan, and it was about pro-life. So I had adopted these kind of politics without really thinking anything, and I was a little Reaganite. And then I'm reading the Bible, and I believe in an active spiritual process, and it strikes me that war is wrong. And then what do you do with that? You start thinking about everything. And if you've read a lot of history, and I had, and I loved history after, from the child of mythology is history and hearing stories. And so I had read, good history, most of the history of the world. So imperialism was right there. It was something that under American Empire and the Great Commission and the Christianization of the planet, it seemed all very right and proper and good. But then, so it brought this whole critique, and like 3 days, I abandoned all of my political beliefs and I started to question. And then I looked at the book of Acts, where it talked about the early church, where they shared everything amongst themselves and lived as a community and didn't go to these churches, but it lived in each other's houses, and they pooled their money to take care of the widows and the orphans. And I looked at Jesus, who said that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when the rich young man came to him to do, he said, sell all you have and give to the poor. And suddenly, the Reagan politics of getting rid of welfare and government is the problem, and all became just terrible things. And so, I thought it looked like anarchy when I read about the early church, and I thought that we ought to live like we were in the early church, and that that was the goal of this whole thing that we were doing on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I saw that that's not what they were doing. They were doing this weird thing that I couldn't believe in anymore. But anarchy struck me as overly idealistic when I thought about politics. What does it mean about politics? And I really got into politics, and I found, as I read, that I found the social gospel movement, where I found these wild left-wing reformist socialist Christians who were trying to use government as the arm of religious zeal, but in a way that like helped struggling people and reorganized the economy in a way that was more fair for more people, and that looked like what I had seen in the early church and Jubilee and the message that I had got out of church and in the Bible. And so I got into the social gospel movement. I got into utopian communities and reading about people who were really trying to do it and started to think about why it worked and what didn't work. And then I really became a democratic socialist. You know, I believed in democracy, but I also believed that the workers needed to organize the economy rather than capital dictating the decisions. And so I got into socialism, and I also got into social movements of how did these things happen? What actions did a small group or an individual do that precipitated that? And I still did it through this kind of spiritual lens, even though I had this amazing political transformation where I went from a right-wing Republican to a democratic socialist in about 2 weeks. And is what it feels like. And I know it was rapid. And I think it was over Christmas break, because I remember being pretty conservative in the first semester of U.S. history, in the second semester being the most liberal kid by far in the class and really being able to talk to the instructor in a new way. Where the instructor in the first semester, Mr. Rossi, had called me a racist. And because I believed in capitalism and freedom, and felt that, you know, if I had built a company with no help from the government, and he was Italian, I said, for whatever reason, you know, I have no ill feelings towards Italians. They're, you know, I'm German immigrant stock, and they're arbitrarily, you know, both have interesting histories and cultures. But I said, just for sake of argument, you know, if I didn't want to hire Italians for whatever reason, the government didn't have any right to be able to tell me that I had to. And rather than like attack that kind of philosophical point, he's like, well, you're a racist. And it was like this Zen cone, you know, as I was like shamed and baffled, and he didn't engage in the field. And I had read, you know, a lot of argument on the topic and felt like I was confident in my ability to defend my position. But was I? And I, so that had, you know, I didn't do anything with it at the time, but, you know, later, I started to really question all kinds of things about myself and apply myself to this kind of lens of privilege as I was able to identify it. But when I was, you know, a younger teenager, I just had all of this kind of shame and trying to fit in middle-class environments, without the social skills and the background and the training to be able to do it. And, so I didn't have a lot of friends, but I made one that turned out to be really important. After we lost our house, and we lived in the town called Ida, and I had been in this farm school, I had been at this more kind of suburban elementary school because that country had become in the exurbs. And even though we were pretty originally a rural stock, most of the kids at that school were like bedroom community of Toledo, Ohio, white flight, middle-class kids. And then when we built the dream house and moved to the country, I moved to a smaller farm school where I was kind of the new kid at fourth grade. And I was the new kid at ninth grade when we lost our house. And because I was oriented towards church and I went to church in Monroe, I really pushed my mom to move into town. Monroe is about a city of 30,000. Ida is, you know, like didn't have a flashing light until 10 or 15 years ago. It's a pretty small town. But my mom liked the country, but she, you know, we were pretty close and spent a lot of time together. And we picked the house together, and she got a place in Monroe. And so there was this older kid at church, and then when I first started, but then he kind of quit going, but I knew him, and his name was Scott Woodward, and he was pretty, he had a big, powerful impact on me as I was in this, you know, because he had, we talked politics, and he was Christian and church, but didn't feel that he was weird, you know, before we were hanging out, he was known for like skulking around town in a cape. And, you know, this is, I don't know, 1983, people didn't skulk around, you know, in capes, but, he got over that, but we was into high weirdness. And when he had a car and we would go around and we'd go to bookstores and, we would make fun of the New Age, movement. And I had read some Christian books and about conspiracies and cults and the New Age movement seemed like a threat to Christianity. He got me to become a vegetarian. He was briefly flirted with vegetarian and became all about, talked about how you couldn't really follow the Hebrew diet of the, without getting all the blood out. And a lot of Jews were becoming vegetarians, and Jesus never really ate meat. Any document, he did eat roasted fish. I became a vegetarian and for ethical reasons and not having to kill. And then it was funny because he was a vegetarian for about 3 months. And then I ended up staying a vegetarian for about 7 years. But he came and went with the church and got into other ideas and an open, more open spirituality. And I would frequently argue with him, but I would end up reading a lot of background stuff to be able to talk to him. And so I read a lot about, got into magic, and we would go UFO hunting. We'd get a pizza and we'd drive around in the back roads and look for UFOs. And we'd go to all the occult bookstores in Ann Arbor and Detroit and just kind of roam around. And I was intrigued by that stuff. I'd been playing Dungeons and Dragons but it was still, you know, I was still like, even though a hard left winger at this point, you know, I was still like, I was a left wing fundamentalist Christian. I still didn't really question that whole kind of system.